The epistle for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 6. Brethren, all we who are baptized in Christ Jesus are baptized in his death. For we were buried together with him by baptism unto death, that as Christ is risen from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also may walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin may be destroyed, to the end that we may serve sin no longer. For he that is dead is justified from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall live also together with Christ. Knowing that Christ, rising again from the dead, dieth now no more, death shall no more have dominion over him. For in that he died to sin, he died once, but in that he liveth unto God. So do you also reckon that you are dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. From the Holy Gospel. It's taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 8. At that time, when there was a great multitude with Jesus, and they had nothing to eat, calling his disciples together, he saith to them, I have compassion on the multitude, for behold, they have now been with me 3 days, and I have nothing to eat. And if I shall send them away fasting to their home, they will faint in the way, for some of them came from afar off. And his disciples answered him, From whence can anyone fill them here with bread in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? Who said, Seven. And he commanded the crowd to sit down on the ground. And taking the 7 loaves, giving thanks, he broke and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they set them before the people. And they had a few little fishes, and he blessed them and commanded them to be set before them. And they did eat and were filled, and they took up that which was left of the fragments, 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Calling his disciples together, he saith to them, I have compassion on the multitude. These words are taken from the gospel of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, just the other day I was able to go out to dinner with some of the parishioners here, out to a restaurant, and after that dinner, on our way out of the restaurant, there was a little seating area outside, and there was a couple of elderly ladies sitting at a table who saw that I was a priest, and they were a bit surprised to see a priest. One of the ladies actually started crying when she saw me, and she explained that one of her good friends had just told her the day before that she really needed to go and talk to a priest. She was very sad because she explained to me her son-in-law had just passed away, and the poor man was only 40 years old. Not only that, but she said that I believe it was her son who had also recently passed away. And then on top of that, she said just a week or two ago, her loving husband had also passed away. So there's many crosses and tribulations in her life. And she said that she has obviously been very, very sad, and that she misses her husband very much. So I was sure to give this poor lady my condolences and told her that I would offer up my prayers for her. And trying to encourage her, I reminded her of how good God is. That He always has his ways and his reasons for things. And she was really good. She was really trying to have a cheerful attitude, trying to keep a good sense of humor. But at one point in the conversation, she did look at me and she said, "Well, why? What are God's reasons?" She said, "My husband was such a good man. We have always been so good in our lives. Why does God do this? Does God really care?" And like I said, she was trying to have a good attitude. And so I explained to her that part of the reason why God sends us crosses and tribulations, part of it is a mystery, that we don't know fully the reason why God allows us. But I did try to encourage her, and I told her that sometimes God allows these things to happen in our lives, really so that we could turn to Him, to run to His most sacred heart for comfort and for consolation. I reminded her as she was crying that tears are good, that we should have sorrow and we should cry during times like this. See, my dear faithful, we're not angels. Angels are pure spirits. They don't have feelings like we do. That's what makes man so special. We have a spirit, a soul, and a body. And with our body comes the passions, comes feelings. Right? When we see someone suffering, we grow sorrowful. It affects our body. Or when something is taken away from us, we grow sad, or we could even grow angry. Our feelings are affected. And that's good. That's how God made us. And it's for us to make sure that our feelings do not get the better of us, meaning that we don't allow our feelings to become so strong that we act unreasonably. Anyway, I didn't explain all that to this lady, but I explained, trying to give this lady hope, that we do live in a valley of tears, that we all have to go through things like this, through crosses, the death of a loved one, and that we have to remember that we were not made for this world. Right? If everything was perfect and happy in this world, if there was no death, no suffering, no evil, if everything went our way, we would never want to leave this world. In fact, we would probably become very attached to the world, and we would easily forget about God. However, my dear faithful, we do have crosses. And if we suffer patiently, we strive to practice virtue, and we turn to the most sacred heart in our tears, then He will be our strength to gain heaven, which is why we were made. That's our purpose in life, to be happy with God forever in heaven. The lady who I was speaking to did really appreciate what I was telling her, even though it could be hard to hear sometimes. She appreciated this and the prayers. The other two ladies kept on saying, "Amen, praise the Lord," as I was speaking to them. So I'm not sure if they were quite Catholic. They may have been Protestant. But I think they did really appreciate hearing this. What I was telling them, the teachings of the church, right? The teaching of the saints. Because people really don't hear this nowadays. They're not reminded of the very reason why they exist. That they exist to be happy with God forever. Rather, in this world, they probably hear that you exist to serve the world and to live your life to the fullest and to be happy only in this world, because when it ends, it all ends. Which is really depressing. That this is it. This is our life. So if there's any troubles or trials in this world, you might as well give up. They don't see a reward after life for suffering patiently. How blessed we are, my dear faithful, to have the true faith, to have the truth, right? Although we can forget because we're human, we have feelings and passions that pull us one way or the other. We could forget the reason why we were made, especially when crosses and tribulations come in our lives. Sometimes we may be tempted to think, well, does God really care? But when we look at the gospel, when we look at the life of our Lord, we see the great love and the care that he has for us. The compassion that he has for us. Right? In the gospel of today's Mass, we read the words of the Sacred Heart, himself. A great multitude came to listen to him speak. They wanted to hear the truth. They wanted to know how to attain eternal salvation. But they had been with him for 3 days and they did not pack enough provisions to feed themselves. So they were hungry. And when our Lord looked up, he said, I have compassion on the multitude. Which is incredible words for God who created all things, to have compassions, to have that feeling of compassion for his creatures. So much so did he love them and have compassion that we read in the gospel that he did a great miracle. He multiplied the loaves of bread to feed the 4,000. And that's what compassion is. Compassion is seeing, being aware of the suffering of another so that you become sorrowful, right? Feeling that suffering with a great desire to alleviate, to do whatever you can to take away that sorrow. It's taking that sorrow as if it were your own sorrow. And so our Lord really felt bad for these people. God, who knows all things, who knew that those very same people would be later screaming for him to be crucified, he still felt bad for them. He wanted to feed them. The Sacred Heart is affected and is moved by their suffering. Well, my dear faithful, how much more is the Sacred Heart moved by our petitions? Right? He sees us just as a mother sees her own child suffering and wants to alleviate it. So too does the Sacred Heart see us when our sufferings and wishes to alleviate it. We don't see it necessarily, but you can be sure that the Sacred Heart is moved to compassion here in the tabernacle. When in our struggles to fight vice, in our struggles to practice virtue, he may not, we know, perform a miracle for us in our petitions, right? But we could always be sure that he will give us consolation and that he will give us the graces and the strength we need to persevere. And as I said, how blessed we are to have our Lord present here, to have the Sacred Heart itself here in the tabernacle, when so many others in the world do not have that, that we could run to the physical heart of Christ. Even that lady I spoke to, I thought about it later, that may have been it for her, that little conversation. She might not have our Lord physically present to run to like we do. that our Lord has a special love for us. I believe it was Blessed Maximilian Kolbe who said how privileged we are. He said, if the angels could be jealous, which the angels cannot be jealous because they're spirits, but he said, if the angels could be jealous of man, they would be jealous of one thing. And that's the fact that man can receive Holy Communion. So how privileged we are, my dear faithful. And let us in our sorrows and our troubles, tribulations, even in our joys, let us run to the most sacred heart, especially in Holy Communion. Let us run to this heart who has compassion and who has a special love for us here at this chapel. And always mindful of the words, loving the Sacred Heart each day more and more. Always remembering the words, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened. That's all of us. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.